Let's stand together this morning for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to look in the book of Mark. We're going to look in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at one quick story and then probably turn the page and look at a second one that's similar. But Mark chapter 4, verse 35, listen to what the Bible says. It says, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." I suppose that what I would like to do and what I would like to leave you with this morning is a great calm. Verse 40 says, "He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Then." If you've got a pen or a highlighter, underline, circle, highlight that word, "then." "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes." Now flip a page or look across the page to Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. It says, "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, or about 3 a.m., he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was Patrick Swayze." Come on, somebody. "They thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid.'" Folks, I don't know about you, but if I'm on a boat in the middle of the water, in the middle of a storm, and it's 3 a.m. and somebody comes walking toward me, "Take heart, don't be afraid." It's too late for that. It's too late. Verse 51 says, "And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened." Verse 53, there's that word "when," underline, circle, highlight, it's important. "When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret." Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you and we thank you so much for today. And we thank you for the opportunity to look in your word. God, I thank you that you're a mighty God. I thank you that you can calm storms and only you can make that wind and those waves cease. Only you can produce a great calm. So, Lord, as we talk about you and your word this morning, help us to gain new insight. But most importantly, help us to see Jesus today. We pray all this in your wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Today, I want to talk to you about a subject called sail on. Sail on. Recently, I was traveling with a friend of mine, and we were in the Midwest. And I've always heard that storms in the Midwest are way worse than they are anywhere else in our country. And we drove one night. We were leaving. It was late. We were leaving a baseball game in Chicago, and we began driving southwest in the state of Illinois, and literally the bottom fell out. I've never been a part of a thunderstorm or a rainstorm of this in my life. This was the worst storm I've ever seen. And we were driving straight through the middle of it. It was horrible. I was looking to my left. I was looking to my right. Cats and dogs and corn stalks and barns and cows were going by. It was terrible. I could not see the road in front of me. We were driving slow. We were driving as slow as you could possibly go on the interstate without stopping. The wind was blowing, and I was in a little rental car. And, I'm in the South, so I drive a truck most of the time. And I was in a little Toyota Corolla, and I didn't like that already. But we were driving slow, trying to see the road, and we couldn't see the road. Wind was blowing the car all over the road. And I told Trey, who was with me, you know him, he was with me in the passenger seat, and I had both hands on the steering wheel, and my neck and my back were all tensed up. I mean, I was nervous. I didn't think we would ever make it. There came a point halfway through that journey where I said, man, I just got to pull off and take a break for a minute. I didn't have to go to the bathroom. I didn't have to get anything to drink. I just had to take a break because the weather was so awful. It was unlike anything I'd been a part of in my entire life. It seemed like hours we drove in this weather, and it did not let up. Even when we finally got to our destination, it was still storming, lightning everywhere. It was unbelievable. And in that moment, in that storm, as we were driving through, there were many times where I thought to myself, God, will this ever end? Will this storm ever stop? God, am I ever going to get through this? I've done everything I know how to do, God. I've driven slow. I've tried to go fast, go slow. I've tried to get to my destination. I've turned my windshield wipers on as high as they'll go. And God, I've done everything I know how to do, but it's not stopping. God, will it ever stop? And I wondered how many of us find ourselves in that place where we say, God, will this ever end? Will this storm that I'm in ever stop? Will I ever make it through this? Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever even gone so far as to question God? God, when will this ever stop? Because what do you do? What do you do when you're in that place? What do you do when you're stuck in that storm? What do you do when it feels like God is a million miles away? What do you do when you're like those disciples and you're struggling and you don't know what to do and Jesus is seemingly asleep? What do you do when you don't know what else to do? What do you do when you get the bad news? What do you do when a relationship ends? What do you do when a loved one is suffering? What do you do when a child's gone astray? What do you do when you're in the middle of that storm? And you question God. You say, God, I come to church. And God, I hear Pastor Benny or I hear the preacher say that you're going to work all things together for my good. When is that going to happen? God, I want that to happen. God, when will it end? We read two stories today, and both of these stories are very similar. The disciples were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and they were struggling in the middle of a storm. They were trying their hardest to get to the other side, to get to where they needed to be. And the Bible says these two little key words that I asked you to underline. It says, then they made it to the other side. And then it says, when they made it to the other side. And my only question for God is, God, when is then and when? When am I going to make it through this? God, when is then and when? Because your word doesn't tell us. All you'll have to struggle for is 2 months and then you'll be there. All you'll have to struggle for is 4 hours and then it'll be over. God, when is when and then? I don't know. I don't know when and then is, but I do know that the storm will end. You will make it through it as long as Jesus is in the boat. Amen? You will make it. So today, I want us to look a little deeper into these two stories, into these two storms, and I want us to find out exactly what happened and exactly how these disciples made it through it. First of all, if you're writing, write this down. Number one, the reality of storms. The reality of storms. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said this, "In this world, you will have trouble." This is not something that might happen. This is not something that if you live long enough, you might experience a little bit of it. No, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. It's coming, folks. Many of you have experienced it. Storms are a reality. Storms are going to happen. Abraham Lincoln loved to tell the story of a very powerful king. And the king wanted to have the weather foretold. He wanted to know exactly what was going to happen with the weather every single day. And he searched his entire kingdom to find someone who could tell him the weather, who could tell him if it was going to be storms that day or if it was going to be fair. And he finally came across a boy who worked in the stables, who was able to tell him what the weather was going to be. Every day the king would ask the boy, son, what's the weather going to be like today? And the boy would say, excuse me, sir. And he would leave the palace and he would be gone for a little while and he would come back and he would tell the king what the weather was going to be. And he was right every time. The king was amazed. And he said, how is this boy doing this? So he had the boy followed. He said, son, what's the weather going to be? The boy left and he had the boy followed. And come to find out, the boy was going down to the stable. And he was having a conversation with a donkey. And he was asking the donkey what the weather was going to be like. And if the donkey's ears went forward, it was going to be fair. And if the donkey's ears went backward, it was going to be a storm. The king was so impressed with this donkey that he made the donkey prime minister. At this point in the story, Abraham Lincoln would always slap his leg and he would laugh out loud and he would say, the problem with that is that the next thing you knew, every jackass wanted to be prime minister. Ricky Benny gave me this opportunity. I want to go ahead and get that out of the way. I don't know if I'll have another one. The reality is, folks, it doesn't take a smart person to know the storms are coming. The storms are on their way. It doesn't take an intelligent person to realize that bad things are going to happen in this life. The disciples made their life around the Sea of Galilee. Jesus made his life around the Sea of Galilee. This was an ocean, a body of water, a small body of water that there were villages situated all around the shore, fishing villages, and that's how the disciples made their money. That's how they made their income. But this body of water was also situated, or still is to this day, situated in a place in which storms are very, very likely. And storms happen quick, and storms happen without warning. The Mediterranean Sea lies just over the mountains, and storms blow off that sea over the mountains, and they can form in an instant. So the disciples knew what was coming, and the disciples knew that these storms would come quickly, and they were ready for these storms. The disciples were as close to God as one could possibly be. Jesus was there with them. They spent every single day with Jesus. They were in the center of God's will. If you'll remember when we read the stories, it was Jesus who in fact told the disciples, hey, push off into the water. It was Jesus who told them to go to the other side. So many times we think if I just do what God wants me to do, if I just try hard enough, if I just live life as good as I possibly can, if I'm just a good enough person, these bad things won't happen. That's wrong. The disciples were in the center of God's will, and they were also in the center of a storm. Storms are real, and they come to anybody, and it doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are, storms are coming. In high school, I had a friend who... He was a good kid. He was a teenager. He was leading worship at church. He was doing all kinds of things right. Yet within a span of a couple months, he lost his father and he lost his best friend, both to freak accidents, completely unexpected. And these events have a way of transforming us. These events have a way of shaping us. And my friend's relationship with God has never been the same. It's caused him to question God. It's caused him to lose belief in God. And what do you tell somebody? What do you tell him? I don't have an answer. I don't know why storms came his way, and I don't know why they happened in this particular way, but all I know is that storms are real. I don't have all the answers, but I know that storms are a reality. The reality of storms, but not only that. Number two, the futility of their efforts. The futility of their efforts. In verse 48, it says, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. In the NIV version, it also says that they were straining at the oars. They were straining at the oars. They were making headway painfully. They were doing everything that they knew how to do. They were putting all their might, all their effort into getting through the storm, but yet they were not getting through the storm. They did everything that they knew to do. They tried everything. Like I said, these were professional fishermen. They were on a boat every day of their life, yet they couldn't get through this one with their effort alone. Folks, you and I will not make it in our effort alone. There is nothing that we can do to get through the storms of life by ourselves. The other day, I was getting my boys ready for school. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and it's fun every morning trying to get them out the door. And I was trying to get him ready for school. And Knox, my oldest, he's four. He had some junk in his nose and you know, a little summer cold going on. I said, Knox, before we go, buddy, let's go blow your nose. We got to get that out of there. And so we go to the bathroom, and I get a tissue, and I'm helping him blow his nose. And he gets some stuff out. And I know you came looking forward to hearing this today, but he's getting some stuff out of his nose. And I say, all right, let's go. And I notice that he's still messing with his nose. And he's still sniffling around a little bit. And I said, what's wrong, buddy? Do we not get it all? And he said, no, that's just my booger technique. I said, what? Where do you come up with this stuff? But he realized, and I realized that, you know, sometimes we just don't get it all. Sometimes no matter how hard we try, we can't fix it. That's what you're going to remember today. I mean, that's all you're going to leave remembering your booger technique. What do you do, though? What do you do when you're feeling desperate to fix something that you can't fix? What do you do when you have no solution? What do you do when the doctors have no solutions? And all you can do is stand by. And you've tried everything that you know to do, but you can't fix it. So many times I believe what we do in these situations is we turn to things hoping that they will fix our storm, that they will calm our storm. We turn to things other than Jesus. We turn to people. We turn to relationships. We turn maybe even to worse things. Folks, we have to realize that nothing is going to calm our storms except our Savior. Nothing is going to calm our storms except our Savior. And Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when we put our hope in other things, when we put our hope in things that we think will fix our problems, it makes our heart sick, because Jesus is the only one who can solve our problems. He's the only one that can calm our storms. Don't you believe that Jesus is the answer for everything that we face today? I wish that there were a secret code or a secret formula, and for whatever you're facing, you could go up like a vending machine and you can press the right button and get the right result. I wish that God worked that way and we could say the simple prayer and we could just do the right thing, the right combination of things. Folks, people have made millions on books teaching you how to get through storms. The 7 steps to overcoming this, or the 5 steps to overcoming this. And we buy those books thinking that they're going to help us. But the only help is Jesus. The only hope is our Savior. He's the only one that can calm storms. He's the only one. The futility of their efforts. The reality of storms, the futility of their efforts. But not only that, I'm thankful for the stability of Jesus. The stability of Jesus. In both situations, when reading these stories over and over and over again, the only thing that I found that was there on both occasions that helped them get through this storm was the presence of Jesus in the boat. The presence of Jesus in the boat. Did you know this? There has never been one time or one situation in which God has worried. I'm going to say that again. I want you to get that. There has never been one time or one situation in your life in which God has been worried. He's not worried. He's got it under control. How else would he be in the stern of the boat, asleep on the pillow, when the Bible says the boat was filling with water? I don't know that I could sleep when water was filling up all around me. You got to be real peaceful to be able to sleep when water's coming down and coming in the boat all around you. Jesus was not worried for a second. The stability of Jesus. He's our rock. He's our salvation. He's our peace. He's our comfort. He's our counselor. He is our physician. Folks, for whatever you're facing, he's got a name that covers that need. He's got a name that covers that storm. He is stable. And he is where you have to put your trust. He is where you have to put your hope. A little over 3 years ago, my life changed. My wife's life changed. Our marriage changed. We had a son, and we were happy. And we were excited that she became pregnant and God was going to give us a second child. But at 15 weeks, she went to a normal checkup and they weren't able to find the heartbeat. Now, this has happened to many of you, no doubt, but I didn't realize how difficult that this situation would be. In fact, I would say that I handled it the wrong way. Of course, I tried to be there for her. I tried to comfort her, but this is more real to her. And I handled it the wrong way. I tried to push it aside. I tried to go on with our lives. I tried to act like that there wasn't a child there in the first place. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I didn't know what to do. We had told people that we were expecting. I remember having a conversation with someone, and he said to me, "How's your wife doing? How's the baby?" And I said, "What baby?" I said, she's not pregnant. We have a 2-year-old. You must have got it mixed up." I didn't know what to say. God had decided that he was going to take this child. What do you say? It changed our life, and it rocked our world. And I would be willing to say even that we haven't gotten over it yet. We've struggled. She struggled. But we've both struggled with, "God, why?" I thought, you know, maybe if she gets pregnant, maybe if we try again and we have another child, and he's great, he's wonderful, I spoil him, he's great, but it doesn't erase the past, and it doesn't take the pain away. Many of you are going through things that are similar that you just can't get over, storms that you just can't paddle through. But I want you to know something. Through all that, through these years that we've been trying to get through this, we've found that Jesus is our only stability. He's the only one that's always there. He's the only one that'll never leave us or forsake us. He's the only rock that we can turn to. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus, folks. Whatever you're going through today, it's only him. He's the only stable one, and we can get to the other side. We can get through it. The reality of storms, the futility of their efforts, the stability of Jesus, and lastly today, the tenacity of his followers. The tenacity of his followers. Tenacity, that word means to hold fast or to stand firm. To hold fast or to stand firm. I'm reminded of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, when the Bible lists all these things that we need to do. And then finally it says, "And having done all, to stand firm." Folks, what do you do when you've done everything else you know to do? What do you do when you've tried every solution, you've tried everything else to get through the storm, to make it to the other side? What do? Stand firm. Stand firm. The only thing that I can find in these stories, the only thing that I can find that these men did, that these disciples did in the middle of their storm to help them get to the other side, was they stayed in the boat. They did not jump ship. They stuck with Jesus. They stuck with Jesus. And so many times when bad things hit us from all sides, it's easy to run from Jesus instead of running to Jesus. But understand that we've got to stay in the boat. We've got to stick with him because he's the only one that can help us. And as our musicians are coming today, I'm reminded of the Charles Spurgeon quote that says, "God gives his most difficult assignments to his most trusted soldiers." God gives his most difficult assignments to his most trusted soldiers. Folks, if you're going through something today, if you're battling a storm right now in your life, understand that it's because God has faith in you. Don't lose faith in him. Understand that he is the only one that can get you to the other side. Sail on. Keep going. Stay in the boat with him. He's the only one that can help you. My favorite verse in the Bible is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians 6 and 9 says this. It says, "Let's not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up." One version says, "If we faint not, if we hold fast, if we stand firm." In due season we will reap. God, when is due season? When am I going to reap if I don't give up? When is due season? I don't know. scripture says. And I know that when the calmer of storms is in the boat with you, you can make it. We can make it if we faint not, if we sail on. You know, when I was a kid, when you were a kid, eyes are always bigger than your stomach. You always think you can stay up later than you actually can. And when I was a kid, I would always want to stay up late. And my little boy does this all the time. He begs to stay up late. I would always beg to stay up late on the couch and watch TV. Want to stay up all night. I couldn't do it. You can never do it. At some point throughout the movie or the TV show you were watching, what would you do? You would always fall asleep. I would always fall asleep. But then something would happen. The next day, I would wake up and I'd be in my bed, all tucked in. Because sometime throughout the night, when it was dark, someone bigger than you, someone stronger than you, someone more powerful than you came and they picked you up and they took you to where you need to be. Come on, somebody. They took you to where you needed to be. You don't know when it happened, but you know that you woke up where you were supposed to be. Folks, I don't know when your storm is going to be over, but I know that someone bigger than you and stronger than you, more powerful than you, can carry you to where you need to be if you trust Him. If you trust in Jesus. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He'll never leave us or forsake us. How many of you are thankful for that Savior? I don't know where you are today or what you're facing, but I know that at some point, every single one of us are going to face a storm. He's the only way. He's the only way. We can't make it to heaven without Him. It's not on our efforts. We can't get through our storm without Him. It's only by Jesus.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry. I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.